You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Company for Christmas. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Company's coming. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are coming to the door of your heart and home this week. And you can't avoid them. TV and radio programs, magazines and newspapers, Christmas cards and Christmas carols. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are your company for Christmas. And let me tell you, they're not boring, like some Christmas visitors to your home. They won't be tedious. Sometimes you and I have to endure boring small talk at holiday gatherings. This might surprise you, but your company for Christmas, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, are an engaging, relevant family. And they're not the Cleavers. We all remember Ward and June, Wally and Beaver Cleaver, that seemingly perfect family from an era long gone. Now, someplace along the line, we picked up the notion that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were an ancient version of the Cleavers. The manger scenes and carols and holiday cards are so glazed over with sentimentality, so clouded with a longing for a simpler time, that the Holy Family seems unreal. The stable doesn't smell anymore. The straw in the manger doesn't scratch the baby. The baby doesn't cry. Mary and Joseph wear clothes that look like they're fresh from the cleaners. No grime, no sweat, and therefore no real relevance to the problems of our lives. We've turned them into the Cleavers, and they are not. You who are women, consider Mary. She was a wonderful young woman and sincerely pious. And I venture to add, she would have been unknown to us if a major personal situation had not developed in her life. Luke chapter 1 reports that the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Had it not been for that heavenly announcement, we wouldn't know about Mary today. Because of that heavenly announcement, Mary faced some immediate personal problems. She had to explain her situation to Joseph. She had to tell her fiancé that she had become pregnant by God, the Holy Spirit. And what would she say to her family and to people in the little, and I suspect gossipy, town of Nazareth? The conception of the child was heavenly, but the effects were earthly and real. You men, consider Joseph. He didn't believe Mary at first, would you? Joseph was a craftsman with a reputation for good work. Joseph also was a pious person who believed in the old morality. Therefore, he was ready to end his relationship with Mary. Listen to the story from Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary to himself as wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. You see, this is not a script for Ward and June Cleaver. A heavenly conception, but with real-life earthly effects. Your company for Christmas knows life. You're visitors this week, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I hope they'll become more than visitors. They aren't exactly like your family or mine. Yes, they had their problems, and we have ours. But it's not the problems that make their company for Christmas so special. What's so special about this company for Christmas is the child. No child ever born was quite like Jesus. It's not just the virgin birth that was so unique. Jesus is the only person ever born who is both true man and true God. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 say, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." No child was ever born for the purpose of going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world, but Jesus was. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." No child was ever born with a promise to live and be a king forever, but Jesus was. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary and Joseph were sinners, as all people are. We welcome them in song and story this week because their lives revolved around the same basic themes of our own stories, the ups and downs of life in a sinful world. But the greatest theme in their lives was the child sent from heaven, Emmanuel. He made them a holy family, and we welcome him. We bid him stay with us so that he might sanctify our hearts and home. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, can make you and your family members holy in the sight of God. While Mary and Joseph are present to us only in our remembrance of the first Christmas, Jesus Christ came to literally be with you in every moment of life, not just now during the holidays. "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," he promises in Matthew chapter 28. Remember his company when you feel alone and isolated within your family. Jesus comes to meet your times of despair with his hope. Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Remember that he keeps you company when other helpers have failed you, and his words of encouragement in the Bible can kindle hope for a better tomorrow. Jesus comes to remove your guilt with his word of forgiveness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Who's right in your family arguments? God is. And in the Christ child, God's word is, "I forgive you." So when you're hurting because someone in your family has sinned against you, or when you hurt another by your sins, remember that your company for Christmas comes with forgiveness. God with us makes for more godly living. If there is anything that will improve the quality of your family life, it is a spirit of forgiveness and an attitude to do better. Jesus once told a woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Your company for Christmas does not coerce you to keep the Ten Commandments. His forgiveness makes godly living your daily delight. Don't let Jesus be merely a transient in your home, but make him your constant company for yet another practical, real-life reason. He's the only one who can bring you to heaven. He says in John chapter 11, "Because I live, ye shall live also." We need Emmanuel. We need God with us in the practical, daily matters of family life. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. But most of all, we need Emmanuel to lead us into the joys of eternal life, the life that is most abundant. So, the Christmas story is not a fictitious script from the past. It's not a sentimental TV story of an imaginary family. It is the story of a heavenly conception, a virgin birth, and God's blessings upon us all. Listen now to the sacred story of God coming to be with us. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The conclusion of the matter is rather simple. As Mary and Joseph welcomed the child into their hearts and home, as the child accompanied them in their marriage and life, so I ask you to welcome your company for Christmas. His presence made theirs a holy family. His presence sanctifies your heart and home. Your company is coming. A blessed Christmas to you and yours. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.